Last week, I considered a question and answer from an old document called an Orthodox Catechism. If you're like me, I was raised Roman Catholic. When Protestants started saying, "Hey, have you ever read the Shorter Catechism?" I said, I repented of that. I didn't know what the Shorter Catechism was. It was a Protestant catechism. Now, a catechism is simply a teaching device where you ask a question and you give answers. So we shouldn't have a cow over the word catechism if we know what it means. This question we're going to pursue today asks this, and I'll give the answer as well. Whereas we are delivered from all our sins and miseries without any merit of ours by the mercy of God, only for Christ's sake, for what cause are we to do good works? Now that's a good question. If our good works have not contributed to our justification, why do we need to do them at all? If the final verdict on the last day is by virtue of what he has done for us and not by virtue of what we have done for him, why should we do anything for him? He's done it all for us. So that's a good question. Here's the answer. Because after Christ has redeemed us with his blood, he renews us also by his Spirit to the image of himself, that we, receiving so great benefits, should show ourselves all our lifetime thankful to God and honor him. Secondly, that every one of us be assured of his faith by his fruit. See that? You want assurance? You get assurance of your faith by your fruit. It's not the only function of good works, but it helps. And lastly, that by our good conversation, we may win others to Christ. So, this is question 91. It reflects the truths already considered in the catechism. It's got words like sins, miseries, merit, mercy, and for Christ's sake. Those are all over the catechism. Remember that old catechism has three major parts: guilt, grace, gratitude, right? The three G's of the Heidelberg Catechism. Guilt, our sins and our misery. Grace, God's act in Christ. Gratitude, our response to the grace of Christ in our souls, which would be utter dependence on God, prayer, and thankfulness through obeying his law. The question means something like this. In light of all that has been said, now what? In light of guilt and grace, now what? And the answer is gratitude. How do we express it? We obey his law. We have thankful hearts. And when we don't, we confess our gristly souls, our lemony hearts, as being ungrateful. But the question goes deeper and asks, for what cause are we to do good works? And the answer is threefold. We'll look at these briefly. First of all, because we owe God thankfulness and honor. Not because our thankfulness and honor contributes to the justifying verdict. We owe God as creator and savior thankfulness and honor and worship and praise. Second, because of our need for assurance of faith, have you ever been discouraged? You ever wondered, am I truly in the faith or not? Obedience can help be a means through which assurance can be gained. And third, because others need to know Christ as we do. Have you ever thought of it that way? Your good works can glorify your Father in heaven by piquing the interest of others. By the way, you can't just live a holy life and people get saved watching you. Wow, look at that guy live a holy life. I believe the gospel. We have to speak the gospel for them to hear it, right? But a holy life can trigger something in their conscience and encourage them to ask questions. So good works are the way of thankfulness. Good works are not the way of justification. They are the way of thankfulness. How do I give thanks to God for justifying me by virtue of what Christ has done for me? I show my thankfulness. How do I show my thankfulness? I show my dependence upon him by praying. And I show my thankfulness by virtue of obeying his law out of a grateful heart. So good works are the way of assurance as well. They're the way of thankfulness. They're the way of assurance, and they are the way of witness. Good works could function at least in those three ways. So the theological reasoning goes like this. Since redeemed, therefore, we are to live for him. Get it? He's done all this for me, so I'm just going to give myself away for him. My giving myself away for him isn't going to contribute to that work of Christ for me. It's going to display a thankful heart. Well, hopefully display a thankful heart. The answer does not argue or prove all that it says. It assumes prior questions, the answer we're question and answer we're pursuing. It assumes a lot of theology. So let's look at these really briefer than I expected. Believers are to perform good works because this is how we show our thankfulness to God. Listen to some of these texts. What we shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So you have guilt, grace, and gratitude kind of right there. How about this one? This one's very important. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. You know where that is? Romans 12. What does Romans 1 through 11 do? Basically, it shows us how merciful God is to unworthy sinners like us. And Paul concludes, therefore, right after saying, for from him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, God made everything for himself. Everything redounds ultimately to his glory. And how do we live in response to knowing those things? Here it is. Present your bodies as, give yourself away. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Here's another one. Because redeemed, therefore show your thankfulness by obeying, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, do whatever you want. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are from God. 1 Peter 2:5, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I could go on and on and on, but you see what's happening here. Since he's done all of this, this is how we ought to live. But secondly, good works are the way of assurance as well. Listen to these texts. So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. So if you have any good tasty fruit in your life, you might say, well, it's kind of putrid half the time. All right, but there are other times when you actually, out of a genuine heart of gratefulness, you do what's right. Laced with sin and all that stuff, I get it, okay? That's good fruit. You're bearing good fruit when you genuinely, from your heart, not only want to obey the Lord, but obey him even imperfectly, though sincerely. He receives our sincere, though stained, good works because of Christ and not because of us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. When you display that fruit of the Spirit, there's an effect of the grace of God in you. So you can be assured, at least in part, by virtue of the grace of God in me, producing fruit through me. So you trace the fruit back to the root and then to the ultimate cause. The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, or whatever. The root is grace has been born in my heart. I've been renewed. The ultimate cause is God is at work in me, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You trace it back to God. I remember we were in seminary. We were going through 1 John and tests of faith or tests of assurance. And the professor said, you know, there's a thing called negative assurance. Something negative in your life should give you assurance. And we're going, what in the world are you talking about? And he says, so you sin, and then you recognize it as such, and you call a spade, and with sorrow, you go to the Lord, and you confess your sin. You should be assured of your faith. And so, of course, at the break, we're going, man, we get to sin more and get more assurance. That's not what he meant, okay? Shall we continue in sin that grace might increase? It may never be, but we're going to sin is inevitable even for believers. And so the gap, hopefully, is shorter between the actual commitments of the sin and the recognition of the sin, and hopefully the sorrow for it and all those things. I'm not going to say it needs to be at least 8 ounces of tears before it's real. No assurance until you got ounces of tears out of your, you know, ducks. D-U-C-T-S. Duckses. How would you like to live that way? Pastor, how do I know if I'm really sorrowful? 12 ounces of tears a day. And then maybe you can be assured of your faith. It's like, it's never enough, right? How much tears is enough? I don't think it's the physical tears. Though if you cry physical tears over your lame Christian life, great, wonderful, marvelous. But to require that and an amount of tears, that's not, we're not going that way. That would not be healthy for anybody. Good works are a fruit of the Spirit in us, and they can be a means of assurance for us. But third, good works are the way of witness. Let your light shine, you know, Jesus said, before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. So there's a principle that applies to marriage, that Jesus talked about in a more general sense. Our good works can cause unbelievers to come to attention, like, wow, I've never seen that before, which gives us then an opening to speak to them. So good works have a way of affecting others. They don't save others. They do allow believers opportunities to speak to others. Just recently, 6-8 months ago, I had a situation where this man was talking to me in a public place, an official public place, and he says something like, why are you here? And I told him, I'm not going to give you all the details, but if you knew the details, this would be a really good illustration. Not knowing the details, it's a bad one. But he basically said this in my response. I'd filled out some paperwork. He read it all, and he said, what church do you go to? He didn't ask me any questions except, what church do you go to? Based on what I filled out. And I said, why would you ask that question? And it's basically, only Christians do what you said you do on there. And it opened up an opportunity for me to speak to the man. There, I just use myself as the hero of the story. That's one of the things you should not do as a preacher. Believe me, I'm not your hero. But I know a hero that you should love and adore and worship, the Lord Jesus. But just go, we all have little stories like that because of our kindness, because of our willingness to go above and beyond. We did something and somebody said, why would you do that? Or, you know, where do you go to church? That's a good question. Oh, that the Lord would give us more opportunities to shine our light so that we could speak the gospel to more people. 1 Peter 3:15, you know this one, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. So see what happens first, sanctification of the heart, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, and then this readiness, always being ready to make a defense, which seems like somebody else is on the offense asking, right? To make a defense to everyone who asks you, well, keep reading the verse. Somebody is asking you, right? Who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. So may the Lord help us with understanding that good works aren't meritorious on our part, very meritorious on the Lord's part, though. He merited the quality of life that he enjoys and that we'll enjoy, body and soul, in the eternal state. But our works are not meritorious. Our works should be thankfultorious. Maybe that's not a word. But everyone here understands what I just meant, right? We're not trying to merit favor, but because we already have favor by virtue of another, we're just trying to, I can't pay you back, but I can give myself away. That's a line from a hymn. Since I can't pay you back, I can at least throw my body out on the altar of service in the name of Christ and give myself away for Jesus. That's like, seems to be a no-brainer. It is a no-brainer when you read the Bible, right? How many read the Bible and understand it better than you apply and live it? Anybody who did not want to raise their hand is a liar. Okay? The life we know we ought to live is always better than the life we actually live, if we're honest with ourselves. And if the life we live for Christ was the basis for our acceptance with God, we'd be in big trouble. But it's not. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't set the bar high and try to perform good works to gain assurance, to show our gratefulness, and to earn credibility in the eyes and mind of unbelievers so that they might ask us about the hope that is within us. We still ought to do that. We just have to make sure our motivation is correct. And I think as well, and I'll finish with this, if you understand what good works are and aren't, and what a good work in and of itself is, you'll realize how great a Savior we have and how much we still need him. Because, you know, well, like when you read the good theologians and sections in our confession, it'll define good works. And then it'll say, even the best of saints does not offer stainless service in the name of Christ. But as weak and feeble as our obedience is and stained with imperfections, God receives it by virtue of the grace of Christ. The more I understand what good works are and aren't, the more I realize my good works aren't very good. And I'm pretty happy they don't have to be meritorious. As much as I know, you ever thought about that? We know way better than we live. You know, there are some people that have been in churches longer than I have, believe it or not. And the older we get, that should be our conclusion. He's looking better, and I'm looking worse, and I can't wait to be there. Something like that. That's encouraging, isn't it? He's looking better, I'm looking worse, and I can't wait to be there. He's going to clean me all up. Anyway, may the Lord bless these musings. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And I thank you that we can consider the question of why good works, if all the merit is of him, is by him, was done, is completed, is finished. Well, we can show our thankfulness, which we ought to do. We're actually called to do it. And as we show our thankfulness and good works, we can be assured of our faith. And also, we could not only stop the mouths of others, but open the mouths of others by get them to ask questions about the joy, the simplicity of life that we enjoy, the fact that we don't have to stack all these worldly things over our shoulders and bear all these burdens and buying things and loving the world for more than we ought. We do pray that you would make us more grateful, sweeten our hearts, humble us. May you constantly look better and us worse, and may that produce in us an eagerness, a desire to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, and ultimately in the resurrected state, in the new heavens, new earth, the new city of God, that Jerusalem that comes down from above. We ask your blessings now on the supper as we take together in Jesus' name. Amen.